Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we move from one kind of preservation debate to another involving not New York real estate this time, but ancient art. The world reacted with horror when it was discovered a few years ago that the Taliban had blown up those 2,000-year-old monumental statues of the Buddha in Afghanistan. But to judge from the accusations of some scholars, museums and collectors are implicated in the continuing destruction of ancient sites by supporting the trade in art and artifacts plundered from sites around the ancient world. Looters seeking high prices some are willing to pay, no questions asked, remove certain objects, in the process frequently destroying others and often destroying the historical record. Now, of course, comparing museums and collectors to the Taliban is extreme, but the ethics of collecting and studying antiquities is a matter very much on museum directors' minds, as the Getty Museum's former antiquities curator is on trial in Rome now for conspiring to trade in stolen goods. The Association of Art Museum Directors is holding a one-day symposium here in New York tomorrow to explore the issues of preservation, collecting, and scholarship, with panels of archaeologists and museum directors and curators. And joining me now to talk about some of these issues are Timothy Potts, the director of the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, Texas, and chairman of a task force that drew up new ethics guidelines for museums in dealing with antiquities, and Malcolm Bell, an art history professor at the University of Virginia, vice president of the Archaeological Institute of America. Professor Bell is also co-director of an excavation site in Sicily. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Malcolm Bell, first, tell us, if you've been following it a little bit, about this trial of the Getty Museum curator in Rome. What's she on trial for exactly?
Well, she's on trial for having purchased antiquities through a dealer whose archive was seized by the Italian authorities 11 years ago. And in the past decade, they have tracked down the objects that are documented in the paper trail that they confiscated. This was a warehouse in Switzerland, and in fact, that dealer and another major dealer, Robert Hecht, have also been indicted. The Italian dealer, Giacomo Medici, whose archive was recovered, is actually already been sentenced, and the trial is continuing of Mr. Hecht and Marion True, the curator of the Getty. The problem for Marion True is that apparently the Getty in the 1980s and early 90s, up to about 1995, purchased quite a number of works from the dealer, the Italian dealer. And so there is a record of the purchase of antiquities that were illegally excavated in Italy and illegally exported from Italy. And this has created the chief problem. It's a very dramatic case. It's the first time this has ever happened. When a major museum has been placed on, when a representative, a senior figure from a major museum has been put on trial, and it seems that it may really be a watershed.
So do you think that this alleged illegal act relates somehow to the debate that everyone's having over legal preservation practices?
I think it does. It really, if the charges are true, and I have to say they appear to be, it would certainly appear that the Getty Museum and other American museums have purchased antiquities that are in every way illegal. The actual purchase of them, in the view of many, is unethical, but it also is illegal as well.
So, Timothy Potts, I don't imagine you appreciated the Taliban comparison, especially since that episode is frequently cited as a reason these items belong in reputable museums in the first place and not left to the mercy of those who don't or won't or can't protect them. But some critics think it has the same effect in some cases.
Well, it's a very difficult and complicated issue. As in the case you've described, where there seems to be clear evidence of criminal activity, then that's, in a sense, if that is the case, certainly at the Italian end with Medici and co., That's an open and shut case, and that material would not be bought by any responsible museum today, and would not, I would dare to say, would not have been knowingly bought by museums in the past. But the evidence that it was, that these objects did come from criminal activity, has come to light recently since the raid on the warehouse. The bigger issue that we're debating tomorrow is the overall one of how best to preserve what does survive from antiquity. Obviously, all of us want as much as possible to be excavated properly by archaeologists and to be responsibly recovered that way. In the real world, there are, though, accidental finds that come upon by building works and so on. There is still illicit excavation that goes on. And the other side of the coin, or the other side of the problem, is what is to happen to important material which does come about through those ways. And museums have traditionally been the repositories for great objects that do have a part to play in the understanding of antiquity. And what's the option? And that's what we're here to talk about.
But apparently there is some gray area between something that's illegal and horribly wrong and something that's just, an honest attempt at preservation that carries some risks, because the Metropolitan Museum of Art here in New York is deeply involved in this on some level. They recently announced an agreement to return 21 items to Italy that had been acquired without proper documentation. So was that a matter of getting religion after seeing what happened to the curator at the Getty?
Well, again, in the real world, a lot of objects, you do not know their full history. If they've been in collections, sometimes for generations, but there aren't records, sometimes because people didn't think there was a reason to record this information until recent decades. So it's not the case that everything legitimately owned, legitimately traded, has a full paper trail back to its origins. So that, yes, you're right, that therefore creates gray areas, and you have to make judgments all the time about what you actually think was the origin of this object and whether it's ethical versus legal. There are clear legal guidelines, and we all follow them. But the gray area, as you're implying, I think, is the ethical one. And these are judgment calls. But that's the real world. And if everything came with a full description of its history from birth till today, none of us would be talking about it.
Professor Bell, do you want to comment on that?
Well, yes, I would be glad to. The problem that we see as archaeologists is that most of the objects on the market, without provenance, of which we don't know the origin, we don't know except in very recent terms. They may have been in a private collection 5 or 10 years, but going back any further, there is no actual record, and it seems likely to us, and it seems likely to those who studied the market, that most of this material is being produced either today or in recent times, and that as museums purchase it or as collectors purchase it, it simply stimulates more. The market, in effect, creates a demand, and what we would like to see the museums do is to withdraw from that market and to consider themselves not so much the proprietors and owners of antiquities, but rather the stewards of cultural heritage, of human cultural heritage. So that we would like to see the museums rely more on loan exhibitions, on long-term loans. We would like to see the museums attempt to persuade the countries rich in antiquities, like Italy, Greece, and Turkey, to make loans and to make possible the circulation of antiquities in a legal way that would stop the looting of sites and stop the loss of information. I excavate a site in Sicily which has been badly looted. In fact, 15 of the 21 works that the Metropolitan is returning to Italy came from our site. And the story of those works is fascinating, but it's only fascinating because we've been able to try to reconstruct it by excavating the place where the silver treasure, it was a silver treasure, was found. The point is, I think, that the sites are badly damaged by looting, and the objects lose their history. They lose the history of ownership and antiquity, their function, and their date. And all those things are what we would normally want to know about works of art. It's not just the contemplation of aesthetic beauty, but it's the placement of the work in history. And I would much prefer to see the sites not excavated and preserved and protected. And I hope that will be another side of this coin. I hope that will be greatly improved throughout the world. But one of the ways that we can deal with that is to decrease the demand on the market, which stimulates the looting of sites.
My guests on WNYC, Malcolm Bell, who was just speaking, an art history professor at the University of Virginia and vice president of the Archaeological Institute of America. As he just mentioned, he's also co-director of an art antiquity excavation site in Sicily. And also with us, Timothy Potts, director of the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, Texas, and chairman of a task force that drew up new ethics guidelines for museums in dealing with antiquities. He's here in New York for a one-day symposium tomorrow to explore the issues of preservation, collecting, and scholarship with panels of archaeologists and museum directors and curators. And you've been hearing some of the risks, some of the problems, even some of the illegal activities that wind up in the destruction of antiquities, sometimes in the name of having them shown. And Timothy Potts, I wonder what you think of the distinction that Professor Bell just made between museums owning antiquities and seeing themselves as stewards of cultural heritage.
Well, I think we certainly see ourselves both ways. Obviously, there are most of our collections we do own. I mean, essentially all of them at this point. But yes, other models for the future should certainly be considered to supplement that. But if I could comment on a couple of things, and I should mention that as well as being a museum director, I'm an archaeologist also, and so feel very strongly about the what my aim, and I think in museums generally this is shared, is for the preservation of sites, as Malcolm Bell has just said. As to the Malcolm's call for regulations or rules that would prevent museums from buying recently excavated material, we do have that in place. Now, there's a debate as to where you want to draw the line in terms of what is recently excavated. And our 2004 guidelines say that we want at least 10 years of provenance history for any object that's acquired by an American museum. Others use a date of 1970, which was the UNESCO convention, or 1983 when that became, or parts of it became, part of U.S. law. So we're all agreed that there ought to be a line somewhere, and then there's a more, if you like, slightly more technical debate about where that line should occur. But the other point, if I may, about some of the practices of the past, it's certainly true that museums bought objects in ways that today we consider inappropriate and would not condone, certainly would not condone those practices if they were to occur today. In the same way, of course, corporate practices, if we went back 30 years and looked at corporate practices and those of corporate CEOs and their accountants, they would be found wanting and have been found wanting. Archaeological practices themselves, if you go back a generation or two, the way people excavated sites, the way that the disposition of the material, its publication policies and so on, they were also very different 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it's no surprise, therefore, that museum practice and professional standards have evolved in that period. The question is to what extent you want to go back and rewrite history and redistribute or decide again where objects or how and where they ought to be in terms of today's principles versus what was in place at the time they were acquired.
Indiana Jones was an archaeologist, right? So at least according to the depiction of that character, they had their rough and ready days.
Yeah, we try to forget about him as much as we can.
But Malcolm Bell, there was an article in the Times yesterday that said even some archaeologists are balking at the strictness of their own rules, especially in the cases of texts which can't be studied if their provenance can't be verified.
Yeah, texts are a special case, and we're developing ideas about how to deal with them, especially with the emergence of so many cuneiform tablets from Iraq. And one proposal that's been made, which I think is quite reasonable, is that the source country, in this case Iraq, but other countries, be notified of the emergence of these documents when they're purchased. And there would be ideally some kind of registration of them and a permission for the holder of the document in the United States or wherever to continue to hold it for as long as it's maintained and preserved properly. But the problem is we don't want to stimulate a market in the destruction of sites, and that's the issue, and that's the great problem. Mr. Potts mentions the 10-year limit, but the fact is that the source countries, consider these objects illegal. The Italians were very glad to have the Euphronius crater returned because it was illegally excavated and illegally exported, although this was purchased in 1972. You know, that's 35 years ago, and the I think the returns are not going to be many. I don't think the source countries are going to ask that museums be emptied of their collections, but there are certain symbolic works, certain highly important works that that to the source countries seem highly significant. And the Euphronios crater was questioned by the Italian authorities when it first was purchased.
Yeah, well,
it's been questioned ever since.
The Dead Sea Scrolls and the recent Gospel of Judas that got so much publicity were technically plundered goods. So I guess they raised the question of ownership, who owns such things, and I'm sure everybody's glad that they're now available for study.
There is a
terrible story, actually. I mean, because of course the profit motive has been a part of it too, and in fact the owner of the work has been trying to sell it for the past several decades.
Of course, there is a straightforward question to the ownership question, which is who legally owns something, and that's in a sense the baseline from which all of this starts.
And who should the country where it's discovered own it? If there are ancient Indian artifacts discovered in the United States, does the U.S. government own that? Or
we do.
Well, it depends where and how they're found, on which land they're on. In fact, in many cases, if it's on someone's private property, it's the property of that person. In Britain, it's the same. There are different jurisdictions, and this is an important point. We talk about illicit excavation and illicit material as if the nature of the recovery is what makes it illicit. That's actually not the case. If you're talking in technical terms, as I'm afraid we are and have to, it's the nature of the regulatory framework in that country or in that jurisdiction that determines it. The same object or the equivalent object found in the US or in Britain would not be illicit as it would be in Italy. And there's, in fact, a number of people who feel that the regulations, the very draconianly strict regulations in some of these countries, is in fact counterproductive and is driving creating the black market and the trade, which is doing damage to, of course, to these sites that Malcolm's and we're all concerned about.
So we're almost out of time. Malcolm, has any country figured it out?
I think no. I mean, all the countries are different. But the fact is that legality is determined by nation states, and it is determined for reasons that are usually well-motivated. And the Italians would like to protect their sites, and the Italians have claimed since the early 19th century. The Papal States have claimed, which are now the central part of Italy, claimed antiquities as early as 1805. We think that you should abide by the law.
Timothy Potts, director of the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, Texas, is in New York for the Association of Art Museum Directors, holding a one-day symposium here in New York tomorrow to explore the issues of preservation, collecting, and scholarship. Thank you very much for joining us on the air.
Thank you.
And Malcolm Bell, an art history professor at the University of Virginia, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.